Hey, everyone. We anticipate Diane being able to make this meeting, correct? We haven't heard otherwise.
That's correct. I haven't heard anything otherwise, Michelle.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. I'm not hearing anybody. Okay, I can hear you now. What was that, Ted?
That's correct, Andrea. I haven't heard anything from Diane that she's not going to make it. Michelle, have you heard anything?
I have not either.
Okay. We can give her a minute and see you.
Sounds good. Okay, let's go ahead and get started if that's okay.
I agree.
So calling to order the Des Moines Water Works Planning Committee meeting for August 3rd at 3:30 p.m., getting started a little bit after at 3:32. We'll have folks introduce themselves as they speak, but it looks like as far as trustees in attendance, I'm seeing myself, Andrea Bolton, and Joel Ashbrenner. And we'll go ahead and get started with the first agenda item being the Purple Martin Lake improvements.
Yeah, Andrea, I'll kick this off and then hand it off really quickly to Jessica. Jessica and Josh Shipman from DNR are gonna share a little bit about plans for additional enhancements at Purple Martin Lake. I don't want to steal any of their thunder, so I won't get into detail, but I do just want to comment that this has been a great partnership with DNR to not only open this Des Moines Water Works property up to public access and public recreation, but also to maintain security at the site. It's been real positive for us. So this is a continuation of that agreement and likely a move towards expanded partnership between Des Moines Water Works and IDNR at other sites in the area. So Jessica, with that, I'll let you take it from there.
Can everybody see the screen, see the slideshow?
I can't see anything yet.
Okay, load it a different way. How about now?
No.
Let me try this one more time.
That's looking better.
Now, can you see it?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of Purple Martin Lake. And at Des Moines Water Works, we purchased the property in 2012. And this property is located just east of Interstate 35 across from our McMullen treatment plant. It includes 140 acres. And 87 acres of that is actual lake. And the reason why we purchased the property was to add it as a potential low nitrate water source for the McMullen plant. And when we purchased the property, we were soon approached by the DNR proposing for them to take over maintenance on the property. The site needed a lot of care. It was overgrown, and they, the park ranger over just across the way at Walnut Woods, thought it'd be a great opportunity to expand their maintenance into this location. And so we joined an agreement with them in 2015 for the maintenance of the site. And they did quite a bit of work to the site to prepare it. But we thought it went very well with some of our goals. It went along with our mission of stewardship of public lands, as well as getting the public into the site to promote the story of water. And we actually had a dedication in 2017 when we opened it up to the public. We did several projects on the site, one being a major riprap project in 2013. I don't know how well you guys can see this, hopefully you can, but in the northwest corner, right along the interstate, this is 35, we did a lot of riprapping to stabilize the riverbank there. Total cost of that project was $530,000. The DNR also, yes.
Humor my ignorance and tell me what riprap means.
So riprap would be, see this picture on the right, the rock here. So they put down fabric as well as installed all this rock. You can see the big machine in the background. So just, there was a lot of erosion. So to stabilize the bank there, this was installed.
Thank you.
Yep. As well as our riprap project, the DNR did quite a bit of work. Initially, a previous park ranger of Walnut Woods, Tim Gelder, was a purple martin enthusiast. And so one of his first requests before a lot of maintenance began was he asked if he could install a few purple martin birdhouses. And we gave him permission to do that. And those birdhouses expanded into a large colony. And actually several others have been added since, but because of the overwhelming response of that, it actually helped us name the site to Purple Martin Lake. And so it's kind of a neat twist to the story. Also some other enhancements as well. They installed a gravel parking lot, a kayak canoe access, mowed walking trails to allow the public to venture out, as well as did a lot of work with vegetation and invasive species control. But some other significant additions as well were the site's pretty remote. And so by having the DNR come in and take over maintenance, it allowed us to have some eyes and ears on the site, patrolling the area so we didn't get any unwanted guests, as well as they offered to open and close the gates daily for the site. And then also a sign was installed at the entrance of the location that signifies our partnership with the DNR. So the next few slides, I'm gonna hand it over to Josh, and he's gonna talk a little bit about the improvements going on for the future of Purple Martin Lake.
Thanks for having me. My name's Josh Shipman. I am the park manager for Walnut Woods State Park, as well as Purple Martin Water Resource Area. We also manage Badger Creek. So we have quite a few different areas we take care of. Thanks again for letting me give this talk today. We're pretty excited about these improvements that are coming up. I did want to touch on, you can kind of see on that sign there, this where it says Des Moines Water Works in the lower right-hand corner. There's a newer, prettier sign coming that will also have the DNR and the Des Moines Water Works logo on it. So look for that in the future. Next slide, please. Today I'm going to talk about two major projects we have coming up. We're actually hoping to start work on them this week. The first of which is a kayak approach and launch dock on the main lake. One thing I want to talk about with both these projects, but especially this one, is we've been talking about them for about 9 months now and in the planning process. A majority of that time was spent working on ADA compatibility and how we could get as many different users to the lake as possible. And I will touch on it very specifically with each project as I talk about them. The second project is a trail that goes around both lakes around the outside, essentially creating a loop that people can walk around out there. And one of our bigger hurdles there is a water crossing where the Raccoon River flows into the main body of water at Purple Martin. One important thing about this project, and as with most government projects, funding is always an issue, but both were funded by private donations. So we had two different donors come forward, one that wanted to do a memorial fund and had about the amount of money that the kayak approach and launch were going to cost, and another one that said they had a significant amount that they would like to contribute to the water crossing. Next slide, please. So on this map, essentially what we're showing here are trails. The green, those are existing trails. Those are grass trails. We mow them weekly, if not occasionally biweekly when we have dry years like we've had the last 2 years, but they're mowed on a regular basis so people can walk them. The reason we've gone with grass trails is it's twofold. It keeps a very natural look to the area. The other thing is when you have paved or gravel, it takes away from the natural setting as well as stops filtration. You know, any runoff that comes through grass trails helps filter water that's running back into those lakes, especially with their intended purpose. What you see in red there is the trail expansion. So all of that would also be mowed grass trail coming around. And then the crossing is up in the upper right-hand corner or northeast corner of that area. And then there's a small purple area that also has a black line next to it. That black line was the proposed ADA. Again, we're not going to be able to go with ADA on that. So the line coming down will actually be somewhere between that purple and black line. And I'll go into more detail as we look closer at that project here. Next slide, please.
Thank you for calling Walnut.
So this is a picture of a kayak launch, very similar to the one we will be using. There's sections of it. The first section you see with the railing there is an approach. So kind of keep that in mind as I talk about approaches. The next is the dock section. This particular one we're looking at here is an ADA compliant one. That is why it has the handicap railings all the way down it and has that wide dock at the end for wheelchair turnaround. But the off to the side there, those little, I guess, U-shaped pieces of dock, that's where you would set your kayak, and you're able to sit in those and launch off of there instead of coming into shore and landing on rocks or sand or whatever. Next slide. So this is our DNR engineer artist's rendering of what it will look like down there. Very similar to that one you just saw. Again, we were, for several reasons I'll talk about here in the future or near future, we weren't able to make it ADA compliant. But so it doesn't have that wide dock at the end, but this is a real good idea of what it would look like. And he's even attached kind of the look of the shoreline at Purple Martin there. So next slide. So here is the specific trail that will go down to it. I know that's kind of blurry because I blew up the picture, but that floating dock component system on the top is what I was just showed you a real picture of one similar, and then our artist rendering. Thanks to Jessica, we all know what riprap is now, but there'll be a riprap base along the shoreline there that will backfill with smaller rocks so it's not jagged, but that's going to help keep our anchor point for that dock in place. Right now it's just sand there. I'm assuming everybody here is very familiar with Raccoon River flooding issues, and those, of course, since that lake is at the same level, directly affects it. So it's important that we have a good base for both projects to keep any structure we have in place and to keep them out of Waterworks Park and in our DNR area parks. 340 feet of trail, 6 feet wide, coming right off the existing parking lot. In order to be ADA compliant, that trail would have to go halfway around the lake from that parking lot in order to get the grade that would meet all ADA compliance. The other thing is with the soft soil structure there, most of it is sand. It is, after all, an old sand quarry. We wouldn't be able to put any concrete down or pack rock tight enough in order to get a surface that met ADA compliance. We also had some engineers do some work on it, just some cost write-ups, and it was going to go from a $20,000 project to a $150,000 project, which meant we would lose our donor on it if we had it. So if you go to the next slide, I think I talk about that a little bit. So there's our pricing, where I say it's a $20,000 project, that's the pricing we have in there. That is all materials. We're actually doing all of the surface work ourselves. So there's no labor cost built into that. That is just materials. Next slide.
Sorry to interrupt you, but so the trail from the parking lot to the access, that is just going to be what it is right now, like a mowed sandy walkway?
It will actually, can you go back a slide for me, Jessica? So see that thing that says GeoGrid there?
Yep.
And the thing that says 3/4 inch roadstone. What that GeoGrid is, it's a plastic material that looks like it has cups in it. They're in sections that come together. So as we come down that fairly steep grade, those will be laid underneath, and then there will be rock laid on top of those. And then a bit of soil, and we're going to try and get grass to grow through that. So yes, it will be grass, but structurally there'll be something underneath to kind of hold that grade the way it is and also manage runoff so it filters through it instead of down the middle of it. That's a great question. But yeah, that's where the GeoGrid comes into play there.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, we'll get to ADA. I didn't have my order of slides exactly how I thought I did here, but we'll get to that here in a minute. These are the basic steps. It says approximately August 2nd, we've got equipment moving in today. So we're hoping to get going with it, like I said, this week. Step one is the location of that trail. It's full of black locust. We touched basically a little bit earlier on invasive species work. We're gonna clear all that. It's all considered invasive. Once we've cleared the area, it's only 0.3 acres. It's not very big. Once the trail's established, we'll go in and put prairie seed down next to it. So it'll continue with the prairie that looks there and just be the trail will just be the width of the trail. Next slide. Once it's cleared, we'll reassess it to lay out the trail leading to the kayak launch. It'll follow the contour and give us the minimal amount or the least amount of grade we can have. The bottom sentence there'll be 1% cross slope. That's for drainage issues. We don't want anything that cuts down through the middle of the trail. When Purple Martin was first started, the path going from the parking lot down to was just a straight shot, and it is now about 3 feet deep because of the water running off of it. So this will, like I said, it'll be a cross slope on it of 1%, and it'll shed water instead of having it run down through the middle. So once we've constructed it, the base for the dock will be constructed. That's the riprap that I mentioned earlier. There will also be some GeoGrid there. Rough dimensions of that is 10 feet wide by 6 feet long and 4 feet deep. We're not going to dig that out any. It will actually just kind of be a gradual step up to it. There's some finer details there, 15 tons of riprap, 3-inch ballast, 2 tons of ballast, and then roadstone. The roadstone will flatten it out so there's no jagged edges from the big riprap. Next slide. Once we've created that jetty, then we will gravel it down there for long-term sustainability. The geocell would be placed. That's the question you asked earlier. And we'll fill that with roadstone and any slough dirt we have and sand, we'll cover that with. So the dock will be installed with approach, pull anchors, and kayak launch. That should be pretty self-explanatory from that slide we saw earlier. Those poles are our pole anchors. We can take this out anytime. Say Waterworks would need to draw down in case of a water emergency, since it's part of that system. We could actually remove that dock before that drawdown happened, and that would prevent any damage to the dock or people being tempted to go out there on it. Next slide. So this is where I talk about the ADA compliance. Like I said, we'd have to get to a certain slope and be a certain type of material down there. Given that it is sand-based and we have flooding issues, that really wasn't possible. We walked it with attorneys, we walked it with engineers and contractors and everybody else, and everybody came to that same conclusion that it was going to be very hard. So what we had to do, because all DNR projects, basically anything we do that's new has to have ADA accessibility. That is a just rule. And we had to go through a waiver process in order to put this in so that we could put something in that wasn't ADA compliant. So two of those things on that are protect the natural look and feel of the area. Walnut Woods is a very developed area. Across the street at Raccoon River Park is a very developed area. One of the advantages and beauties of Purple Martin is it's very natural. There is essentially a parking lot there and you're out in a prairie after that. So we're trying to protect that and keep that near, keep that feel for the area for public use. So that was one of the things that we used to obtain our waiver. The other one was not possible with the land and water and the type of use we have there. The final thing we used in order to get approval was there are similar ADA docks. That dock I showed you earlier, the actual one that was in, there's one exactly like that at Raccoon River Park right across the river from us. So for the people of West Des Moines, it is available should they need it right there at that particular area. Also, when Lake Aquabie, when we're talking state park grounds, south of here is going to have an ADA accessible one right there at the park. So there are areas people that would need that could use. Do I have any questions on that ADA stuff? It's a pretty hot topic everywhere I've been, so. Okay, next slide.
What are, if I can go back, I understand this is a funding issue, and as you said, it would be more expensive, obviously, to make it ADA compliant. What's the potential for upgrading this later? I mean, is this being built in such a way that
no
accessibility could be added?
Yeah, you could add it down the road. It is nowhere in our concrete plans. Essentially, the conclusion we came to was this project was either going to happen this way or not happen because of funding, and we would lose the $20,000 donation on this. We just didn't have the $130,000 to match it and come in with it. But it would be very easy down the road if funding sources were to show up for that, that we could make an ADA compliant one there. Cost is going to be tremendous, more so than on other bodies of water, mainly because of what I talked about, those two issues being flooding and what the ground is made of. At any point, if that sand washes out from underneath it, you lose all the concrete that you would have coming down to it for ADA. Because it is a gravel pit, it's just a hole. If you're looking at this map right here, this is a topographic map. You can see where your fall is. It's all on that shoreline where the lines are close together. It's like that from the parking lot down. So it's a pretty straight drop. So that's what I mean by we'd have to go halfway around it in order just to get a grade that met that 3% requirement. And on top of that, you're putting it on a sandy substructure. So essentially on just a two-year flood, you know, not these 100-year floods that we've had every decade for a while, but the short-term flooding, just the annual stuff we get, you'd be looking at losing you know, anywhere from 150 to 250,000 project every time you got a two-year flood. So as far as what our project will have no effect on whether we're able to do that down the road. It's just sustainability of that in the future. That's why my department isn't real anxious to put forth a whole bunch of money into that and have it wash out within 2 years. So, but no, this project itself will have no effect on whether we're able to in the future.
Appreciate the explanation. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, so this is a good slide to look at. This is on our project sheet. It's actually the cover, but what I do like about it is it does have that topographic map. So, as we've looked at aerial pictures here, this at least gives you some idea of what it looks like out there. I'm sure you're all familiar with the quarries that Waterworks has taken over, and they're all kind of the same structure where a hole is dug in the ground next to a river in order to get the material they want that backfills. So it is interesting. Everywhere you see trails is fairly flat. The only time it's super steep is around those shorelines. This also is an aerial picture that shows you can see the existing trails that are there. So if you go to the next slide, this again is an aerial, and it just shows you that connection to the existing. We've had a strong demand for the public for a loop. People enjoy hiking the area. They don't get real excited about just doubling back on the area they came from. So this is going to allow us an opportunity for that loop. This does have some boxes, basically roughly explaining what we're intending to do. I can show you in greater detail on some of the other ones. But like I said, this is an aerial versus just looking at a map. There again, it's all just going to be mowed path through there. We've got some skid loaders with the tree shears and heads on them that'll take out we're not going to take out anything that is a non-invasive tree. We're just looking at removing invasives for this project. So next slide. The trail will be mowed grass only, no rock or concrete. Again, that is, we do that for two reasons. The first of which is to keep a natural look to the area and for habitat. The other reason is because we actually can filter water in there and it prevents gullies and erosion from happening on the trail if we've got some grass holding our substructure in place. So the crossing will have a slight grade to it, just like we ran into putting that dock in on the other side. There again, it won't be ADA compliant. In order to get an ADA compliant section across there, it was going to require a lot of concrete, but our biggest issue there was with floodplains. So that next section there, docks would be anchored to the ground, but break away in flood events. That was a big deal to get it through floodplains. We have to allow for water and debris to flow freely between the lake itself and the river since they're connected. The anchor system retains the docks so they don't end up downstream. That's a big one. We don't want to be buying new docks all the time, and nobody wants to have further flood issues because our docks ended up downstream. We did receive approval from floodplains. That was quite a process getting through, but they were great working with us and telling us exactly what we could and couldn't do there to prevent any issues with flooding. Next slide. There's kind of a picture of what our engineer's drawing of what that grade will look like, how far back we'll start it and push it in to where the dock is. Pretty straightforward there. Again, where the lines are close together, that's where we have our greatest drops. So we've got to start quite a ways back just to get an 8%. In order to get an area ADA, first of all, the trail would have to be paved all the way around, which is not what we're looking at in our trail systems at this point. But the other thing is that 8% grade, you can imagine just to get that, how far we're coming out, how far back we'd have to go to get a 3%. Next slide. Artist rendering of what that's going to look like. So there's your 8% on the sides of that bottom figure. And those two pieces on the edge, those are our approaches to the dock. And then that dock itself will be tied by cable to those are concrete footings on the edge. They're not actually poured concrete footings. They're just a precast item that we purchase and just lay down on the ground and basically bury. But that's what's gonna hold our dock in place in the event of a flood. We can also remove it if we need to, pull that dock out of there. But most likely they're just gonna be shear pins. So if anything big would hit it or there's fast flowing water, those shear pins will just break away and that cable will just hold that dock kind of off to the side of that area and let anything that needs to flow in and out, flow in and out. Next slide. This is our granular surface. So this slide I should have put back at the beginning, but this just shows the slope of the trail going down. And this will also be the same trail going to that crossing area in the back. They'll both be the same way, a 1 to 1.5% cross slope, sitting just above the natural ground. The bottom picture is what we're trying to avoid. The top picture is what we want. Go to the next slide. That's it. I'm sure there's questions on it, but that's taken from the southeast corner of Purple Martin. It's a beautiful area. We sure appreciate the partnership with you guys. And we're looking forward to these, what will seem to the public fairly small projects. They're a pretty big undertaking to us, but it does improve access for everybody using the lake there. So questions?
Do we know any type of usership of the park or the public space?
Primarily, it's three things, what I'm seeing. I work every weekend through the summer as well as weekdays, and I'm generally the one patrolling when she talked about patrol. We have a lot of people in kayaks using it. In fact, there's three out there this afternoon that I saw. The other use is hiking. Our trails are very popular for hiking. And that bird area that Jessica showed at the beginning, right now, all of the young purple martins have fledged, and there is like 100 of them that just kind of swarm around the area. So bird watching, hiking, and kayaks are the three most popular things. Fishing, it's starting to gain some popularity, fishing. That trail down to our dock and kayak launch is actually going to provide access to anglers as well. And the trail going all the way around will really open up access to the Raccoon River, as well as the West Lake. The West Lake is a bit hard to get to right now. But as we get that trail finished around it, it's going to open up access to both hikers and fishermen there.
Do we have any idea how many people we see on an annual basis come through there?
We don't have a car counter. I keep records of every enforcement contact I have out there. but I actually just started that in June. And you don't necessarily just want the enforcement contact numbers, because there's more people using it than we're seeing. I would say on a typical day, depending on the time of year and where we're at with a pandemic, our parking area can be completely full out there and spilling out into the road. Other times it's a little slower, but it's heavier use than I think a lot of people would think. So.
And you need a permit, right? Kayak.
We don't have that same rule right now. So we enforce the same restrictions that basically Moffitt has, as far as no motors, you know, nothing electric, gas, anything like that. It's just canoes and kayaks. But that we're not doing anything with a permit. It's certainly something we'd be open to looking into, just because it confuses people with Moffitt being right down the road. So I could go either way with the permitting on that.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Josh, maybe you already said this, but how long will the trail loop be?
It's going to come in somewhere, depending on how many zigs and zags we have, somewhere between 2.3 and 2.7 miles.
Cool. Okay.
And that's not nice, that's not all additional trail. That's what the total.
Sure. Loop is. Sure. And this is a comment probably more directed to staff than DNR, but I'm curious, or would encourage you to think about coordinating with the water trails effort as, you know, we implement some more amenities, for kayakers and other boaters. Seems like there's some natural overlapping interests here, and that initiative kind of aims to promote, water recreation. It seems like this fits in well with that. So any opportunities you have to coordinate with the water trails effort, I encourage.
I actually have a comment on that. We've been working with Nate Hogeveen. I've had several meetings with him. He's aware of these ongoing projects. He's the DNR person that's in charge of water trails. And we've had some talk about actually doing some stuff right there in that area to increase access from the river into Purple Martin Lake. So on our end, it's something we've definitely talked about with them. So
excellent.
We'll keep that in mind too, Joel. Thanks. Any other questions for Jessica or Josh?
I don't think so. I appreciate you all attending, or you both attending and giving us this update, especially kind of the history of the area. I know I've been told that before, but it's nice to be refreshed on it and see the great partnership that's going on between DNR and Waterworks, and be able to share that now with the public and others that may ask. So thank you both.
No problem.
So if there aren't any questions, then we'll go ahead and turn it back to you, Ted, for any CEO and general manager comments.
Just two quick things for me, Andrea. First, I just want to reiterate how pleased we are with the partnership and the fact that Josh and Tim Gedler before him have done a great job of opening that site up to the public, and also of patrolling it and sort of eliminating some of the undesirable activity that was going on that long dead end road just to the south of the lake before they took over. So we appreciate that a lot. There is some chance that at some point in the future we may expand their participation to the lake, which is immediately east of Purple Martin Lake. A property that we purchased from Hallett Materials for similar water supply purposes, but it's currently not part of this arrangement. So we're off to a good start, I'll have to say. The other thing I would share with the board is that effective tomorrow, we, Des Moines Water Works, will be, I guess I would say, re-implementing our mask requirements, our cloth face covering requirements for employees in Des Moines Water Works buildings in accordance with CDC's new guidelines for both vaccinated and unvaccinated staff. The CDC guidelines are pretty clear that based on the level of spread in Polk County, that folks should be wearing face coverings when they're indoors in public spaces. Public space meaning not your home. So effective tomorrow, we'll be implementing those requirements again. We'll also be posting the building that masks will be required for customers. We'll have we'll have disposable masks available for customers at no charge that they can use. Anecdotally, we're already seeing about half of our customers who come into the office wearing face coverings over the last week. So I don't expect that will be a big issue for us, but we will have to decide here in the next 2 weeks or three what we're going to do about our board meeting, which is scheduled to be in person, and whether or not we want to go ahead and have our board meeting in person with masks, or whether we want to do virtual with an in-person option, which is what we're doing for this meeting, actually. Michelle is down in the boardroom. Michelle, has anyone joined you in the boardroom?
No, I am sitting alone.
So that's what we would expect for a committee meeting. Typically, we don't have a lot of public participation, but for the board meeting here in the next couple of weeks, we'll have to decide. I have a meeting with Graham. I'll visit with him as chair to see if he has a perspective on that or a preference, but I'd certainly be open to thoughts from the board members who are here this afternoon on how we want to move forward with that. But short of there being any thoughts or discussion of that particular point, Andrew, that's what I have today.
Sure. Joel, do you have any thoughts or comments about the board meeting? I guess I'll add that I could go either way as well. It seems like this type of setup with an in-person option works well. But if you want everybody there, I suppose I will be there.
More to come on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a strong conclusion either way. I'm certainly not opposed to just going virtual and playing it safe. That we're all used to it, and we started working really well for us. In person is nice, but I don't feel a huge need to really force the issue if the guidance says otherwise. But you know, just starting to consider this. So when do you think, Ted, we want to make a decision on how we're going to do that?
You know, Joel, I would say that we can make a decision 2 weeks from today, as far out as 2 weeks from today. We have a finance and audit committee meeting scheduled for next Tuesday, and it's already scheduled to be virtual, just like this one with an in-person option. I think that we can do the same thing, but I'm interested to see what City Council does. They'll have at least one meeting between now and then. And as you said, we're just starting to wrap our heads around this, as is everyone else. And there's a little slower roll, I would say, right now. We're not seeing a lot of mask requirements and businesses and that kind of thing yet, in spite of CDC's recommendations. So we've done a lot of...
Yeah, I suppose as I think about it, I'm thinking about the few in-person meetings I have been able to attend, and there's a kind of a collection of very vital staff of yours, of utilities, all gathered close together. And, you know, the board is one thing, but I don't know, the more I think about all your staff sitting there pretty closely packed, maybe that leads me to think virtual is the better option. So I want to be very, you know, think about your staff as we make a decision on this.
Well, I appreciate the feedback there, and let's give it a little time and more discussion. Maybe we can touch on it again at finance and audit and just kind of see, things change so fast. A week from now, we might have a different perspective, but we will come up with something. We did make the decision to move ahead with requiring masks effective tomorrow, and we'll see where we are a week from now.
That sounds good. Yeah. Who knows where we'll be, like you said. And with that, the understanding that there's no public in the boardroom with Michelle, I'm not sure if I see public on the phone or on the Zoom call here. I've got one square that's unrecognizable. Do we have any public comments? Okay, so not hearing any, I think that wraps things up for us, and I will adjourn our committee meeting and look forward to seeing many of you in about a week or so online.
Sounds great, Andrea. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Take care, all.
Bye.